You know, for a while, I used to wonder what that la-la part was all about. But I figured it out. I figured it out. See, when you trade your sorrows for joy, well, then no sorrows ain't holding you back no more. And you might not know the words to say, but all it might just be the only thing come out your mouth is la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And so this morning, I just want to encourage you. I don't know what you brought here with you today. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what you're struggling with or dealing with. But I want you to know, like, this song, like, this ain't just a song that's kind of nice and it's got a little beat to it and all that kind of stuff. Like there's some real truth in that. Like you really can, like trade your junk for God's blessing and favor. And I just dare you to try it because I think what just might happen in your life is you might just be so overcome with the joy of the Lord in your life, you might not even have words to say. You might just be skipping out of here, la 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 la. Lord, oh my goodness, right? God's been good, amen? He's been so good, and I praise God for how good he has been. Today, we're going to continue on in our series on family discipleship. This is something, so after service today, we're going to have a parent discipleship party, and so excited for our parents to hear from Pastor Sarah and Pastor David, their heart, how God is directing them in the particular ministries that they lead. But I want you to know that for us as a congregation, like, this is something that we're gonna be focusing on as an entire congregation. And I realize that many of us here may not have kids in the youth ministry. You may not have kids in children's ministry, but you've got some people around you, right? That need to hear a word from the Lord, right? That God can work through your life to impact them. And for some of us, family looks really different sometimes, right? And I don't just mean because your family's weird. Like, I mean, that's probably true too. But for some of us, like, we might not have, like, biological family around us, but we got some people that are, like, they're like our road dogs, right? Like, they go where we go, and they we might not have come up with them, but you just tight with them, right? Like, you just have a real close relationship, and they might be your family, right? You might have some people maybe at work or something like that, or maybe neighbors, some friends, maybe even some people you went to high school with or whatever like that, right? That you have relationships. I just want you to know that as we're talking about family discipleship, We're talking about ways in which a one spouse or how spouses could disciple one another. We're talking about how parents could disciple kids. We're talking about how grandparents could disciple grandchildren, and aunts and uncles can disciple nieces and nephews. But we understand as well that family looks really different. And so I want you to understand, when we start talking about family discipleship, like, you aren't excluded from that just because you might not have a kid in children's ministry or youth ministry right now. Like, we are all participating in family discipleship, and I just want to encourage you to be looking for ways in which God might open your eyes to some of these opportunities. Here in just a minute, we're going to get back into Deuteronomy chapter 6. And so if you have your Bible with you, I want to encourage you to go ahead and turn there now. Today, we're gonna shed light on the fact that we are a very forgetful people, right? I wish y'all could see what happens in this building throughout the week. Because my office, right, my office is upstairs. In the hallway up there, and so there are some times though where I'll need to come downstairs to either print something, make some copies, or talk to somebody or whatever like that, right? So I'll come down out of my cave, out of the loft, right, and come down among the common folk, and I'm just playing. But you might not be surprised that there are so many times where I will, I'll pop up out of my chair and I'll hit the door and I'll come down around them stairs. I'll get to the bottom of them stairs and I'll come all the way around and I'll get over into the office there and I will stand there and I have no idea why I'm standing there. I ain't got no idea why I'm standing there. No idea. Amen. Y'all, I've been 40 for a few months now, but this happened before I turned 40. So don't start with this old pastor's getting old thing. No, it ain't old. I mean, it might be old, but it ain't start because I was old. Like, if that's your testimony, then I'll let you share it. But that's not my word. Like, but there are so many times where I will leave my office thinking about one thing, and then I'm thinking about something else on the stairs. I'm thinking about something else when I round the corner. And by the time I get to the office, I don't have no idea what I'm doing there. And so I will stand there just looking as silly as I do right now, right? And I will literally have to walk myself back up to my office. And don't you know, the Lord will wait until I get in my, all the way up those stairs. Like, do you know how many stairs there are going up there? Like at any one of those along the way, the Lord could just say, hey, remember that one thing you were doing? Thank you, Lord, and I could go on and do my thing there. No. He lets me get all the way back up there. And sometimes he'll let me sit in my seat again. And once I get to sitting down, then he'll bring it back to my mind. And I think, oh, Lord, why couldn't you have done that 42 steps ago, right? We are forgetful people, though, aren't we? Right? We got a lot of things to remember these days. And we try to remember all this different stuff. But sometimes we can be a really forgetful people. Well, I got news for you. That's not new. That's not new. And what we're gonna find here in Deuteronomy chapter 6 is that God knew that the Israelites were going to be forgetful people as well, right? He'd already experienced their forgetfulness in some different ways even before this time, but he planned ahead for their forgetfulness. Isn't that amazing how God can do that? Like, he can know us so well that he'll tell us how we're gonna get messed up, just so he can tell us how he's going to bring us back. Ain't that the kind of God we serve right there? That he loves us so much that he knows how it is that we're going to veer off the wrong direction. He'll tell us we're going to do it. We will go and do it anyway. And even in advance, he'll tell us how it is that we need to get back to him. Man, that's some kind of God right there. I just want you to know, because I mean, let's be honest. Okay, Lord, here we go. Let's just be honest here. The world has a way of making sure you don't forget anything, right? The world has a way of making sure that you don't forget how broken you are. You don't forget how much you lack. Like, the world has a way of reminding you of everything except for God that you ought to be chasing and everything. Like, the world has a way of reminding you of all these things. And I just think it's so amazing that the world is working so hard to make sure that you don't forget. Like there's people who do research on how many times you have to hear something in order that you'd be able to remember that thing. Like this is all in the world just so they can sell you something, so you buy their product or their clothes, or so that you listen to their music or whatever it's going to be. Like, the world is working hard to make sure that you don't forget what they're selling and what they're giving. But I just am thankful today that we serve a God who knows in advance that we have some competition in our memory, and so in advance he'll tell us, hey, I know that you're gonna fall to remembering everything in the world, but when you remember everything in the world and you forget me, I just want you to know I'm still gonna be there. I just praise God, because I'll tell you right now, for those of you who maybe have been in the world just a little bit, and I'm talking to everybody now, you know that once you forget the world forgets you too. World will just let you go and be as broken as you want to be. Because if you're not buying their thing, and if you're not going their way, and if you're not doing what they say to do, that they will drop you like a bad habit, right? They will just leave you in the dust. But I praise God for the fact that even when I'm not buying his stuff, he's still buying mine. I praise God that even when I'm not dressed in the godliness of the Lord, that he is still with me. I praise God that no matter how hard I try to shake him off of me, he's shaking himself right back on. How awesome is that? That when the Lord, or when the world leaves us, God is still there waiting on us. I just praise God for that this morning. So this morning, let me pray first, and then we're going to jump into Deuteronomy chapter 6. Lord God, I thank you so much for your presence right now. I thank you, Lord, for speaking even now. I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. And Lord, I just ask that you would help us to hear from your word today. I ask, God, that the words of my mouth would be yours, that your message alone would be heard in this place, and that you'd be glorified in it all. Help us, Lord, to say yes to you. Help us, Lord, to say yes to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Amen. It says, "When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to give you a land with large, flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide, wells that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." Now, I want to kind of fill in some context here. So again, this is the entire book of Deuteronomy is Moses giving a word to the Israelites before they go into the promised land, right? He is not allowed to go into the promised land. He knows that he is going to die before they get there. And so these are kind of his parting words to them so that they can follow God even when he's not there telling them how to follow God, right? And so we even talked last week about not only the importance of them loving God with all of their heart, but the importance of them impressing that on their children, right? That is our responsibility as believers to pass that down to the next generation. But what I love here is that God then begins to acknowledge the fact that they are a forgetful people, right? So he goes, even as he's talking here, he refers to the promises that were made with their fathers, right? With Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So you remember all the way back, right? So Abraham was called to go to a place that he did not know, right? But by faith, he went where the Lord told him to go, right? He gets there, and I'm not going to go through all of these stories and everything, but his son, then Isaac, and then Isaac's son, Jacob, and with all three of these, God is promising some things, not only to them, but to their descendants, right? He even told Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. This is before he had any children at all now, y'all. He'd be the father of many nations, that his children would be greater than the stars of the sky or the sand on the shore, right? That's amazing. And so these promises were given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they received them personally, and they passed them on to Israel. But again, we need to recognize these promises were not just for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were for the entire nation. They were for the people of God, right? But then famine hit in Israel, right? And so we have the whole issue with Joseph and his brothers and everything. Joseph was in Egypt and was sold into slavery before all that and everything. But God provided a way through Joseph to take all of Joseph's family and Jacob and all the brothers and everybody, all the livestock. Like, they were all able to go to Egypt, and they were saved in Egypt because of Joseph being there, because of God's hand on their lives. But when they got to Egypt, they found themselves enslaved in Egypt, right? Eventually there came a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph the way that the previous Pharaoh had known Joseph, and obviously then did not know God the way that Joseph knew God. And so all of a sudden now the Israelites are made slaves, but God made a way for them out of that slavery, right? And so Moses and Aaron, they go, "Let my people go," right? And eventually they all get out and they cross the Red Sea because they got the Pharaoh's army behind them and the Red Sea in front of them. They're like, "Oh Lord, what did you bring us out here? Because there weren't enough graves in Egypt," right? And then sure enough, that God parts the waters and they're able to go through on dry ground. But not only that, but then those waters came back and swallowed up the armies of Egypt. And what a mighty deliverance that those people were able to see, right? And then they go on and the Lord wants to take them into the promised land right then, but they got some doubt, right? They got some doubt that they can do it. So the Lord makes them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because of their disobedience, right? But they weren't just wandering in the wilderness. Like, God was providing for them. Each and every day he provided manna for them, right? He actually then, they got to complain and everything because they didn't have meat. So eventually he sent them some quail. They ate so much quail, it was coming out their nose. Ooh, that's a lot of quail right there, isn't it? Oh my goodness, like I've heard of a buffet before, but that's another level, right? But in the midst of all of that, like God was providing, but it sure wasn't a promised land. But even as Moses is speaking to them now, what he's saying is like, you guys are on your way to the promised land. So as he's writing Deuteronomy here, he's telling them like, I can't go with you, but you're going. And I just want you to know that as you go, you're going to see some amazing things. And so when they went to the promised land, they actually had to cross the Jordan in a very similar way they had to cross the Red Sea before. But they did. And not only did they cross the Jordan, but they knew they were forgetful people. So they went back and they got these stones out of the middle of the river, and they brought them over and they made an altar there so they, when their children came and asked them about the stones, and they'd have the story to tell about how the waters parted in the Jordan. That's the only way they could have got them rocks up out of there, right? And then they're in the promised land. They fight their way to conquering the land. But now they eventually get to this point where you've got a generation or two after that where all they've known is the promised land. All they've known is the promised land. They haven't known the revelation of the promises like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? They don't know. They weren't there to experience the crossing of the Red Sea where the Egyptian army was hunting down and their lives were literally on the line before God delivered them. Like, they weren't in the wilderness there for 40 years, right? And God providing for them each and every day. They weren't the ones who crossed the Jordan, right, to get there. Like, they weren't a part of all of that. Now, all that they know is the promised land, right? And Moses is saying to them before they even get there, when eventually all you know is the promised land, you're going to be tempted to forget everything that God has done. Church, I hope we hear this message today, because you might not like the state of America right now. You might not like the political climate in which we're in. You might not like the culture in which surrounds us. But I want you to know, like, in a whole lot of ways, we are living in promised land right now, right? Like I gotta be honest with you, like, I'm living pretty good. I don't have a whole lot of money and everything. I don't have a whole lot. I would say I'm very middle class at best, right? But I'm telling you right now, I'm living pretty good. And I'm looking at y'all living pretty good too. Like, y'all got some nice clothes on and everything. You're here with your families and all that, and you probably drove here in some sort of vehicle. Like, you got shoes on today that you don't normally wear when you go to work or just when you're lounging around the house. Like, you probably even got some things at home, like air conditioning and water. Right? You got some things like electric and food in the pantry and that kind of stuff. Like, I want y'all to know that just those things mean that you are living pretty good. God has provided for us in some amazing ways. Amen? Like, not to mention the fact that, which I always think that's a funny phrase, like, whenever you say not to mention the fact, then you always go on and mention the fact. Like, why? I don't get that phrase. But anyway, I'm sorry. Y'all don't even know what goes through my head when I'm preaching. Sometimes it just comes out. To mention the fact that we are in a public facility praising our God without any concern that somebody's going to come in here and arrest us and send us to jail or shoot us up for the most part. Like we are able to be here and to praise God and to read the Word and to learn from Him and to walk in the Spirit and do it out however it is that we feel like God is telling us to do that. Like we are a blessed people today. We are some promised land people, which only means then that the Lord is probably a little concerned that we might get forgetful too, right? And so then we've got to make sure that when we are satisfied in the land, that we are careful not to forget the promises of God. See, these people, the Israelites here that Moses is talking to, these people never had cities or houses or good things that he's talking about. They never had wells. They never had vineyards. They never had olive groves. They never stayed in one place long enough to have all that. They were a nomadic people. They just kept moving. If the pillar of fire moved, they moved. If the cloud moved, they moved. Like they just went where the presence of the Lord was. Now, there's a whole nother sermon I want to preach, but I can't do that right now. But they just went wherever the presence of the Lord was, right? And if that just kept on going around the wilderness, then they were just going to be in the presence of the Lord, wherever that was. But they never had time to plant stuff. They never had time to build stuff. They never had time to dig wells, because they were probably going to be gone the next week, or whenever it is that the Lord took them on, right? So now, you've got this blessing from God that they have houses they didn't build and cities they didn't establish and vineyards and olive groves and all this kind of stuff. But watch this now, because when they have all this stuff, that means they got to work all this stuff. They got to clean them houses. Probably. They gotta tend the vineyards. They gotta tend the olive groves. Like, they gotta take care of the cities. They gotta make sure the walls don't fall down. Like, now God blessed them and everything, but now they got work to do. And if they're not careful, they might be so busy doing the work for God's blessing that they forget that it was God's blessing. Right? Because when you've been living in that blessing your whole life, when all you know is the blessing of God, it's kind of easy to forget that God was the one who gave. When you haven't lived life without the blessing, it's sometimes hard to remember that God was the one who gave that blessing to you. Like, you might just start to think, well, this is just how my life is supposed to be. And don't get me wrong, like I'm not saying that life needs to be like hard and difficult and those kinds of things, but I am saying that even if life is hard and difficult, that don't mean the Lord ain't providing for you. See, sometimes we get so busy with the blessing that we forget that God is the one who blessed us, right? So let me give you a few examples of what this might look like. You might have people who say, Lord, I need a job. Lord, bless me with a job. Help me, Lord, to find the work that I need and the money to provide for my family and everything. And then sure enough, you go and get that job, and then the church can't find you nowhere, right? The job comes and we praise God for the job. Hear me now. I trust that the Lord will provide some work for people. I've seen it happen even just in these last couple of weeks. I just want you to know, right? But if we're not careful, we might just forget that putting God first is what got us that job to start with, right? If we're not careful, we might just forget that it was our undivided worship to God and dependence on Him and just surrender to Him. Like, that was actually the faith that God responded to provide that job for us. So we can't then sacrifice the faith in order that we can work the job. No, we've got to find a way that as we are working the job, we are also giving God glory and worshiping Him and continuing to give Him our faith. See, if we aren't careful, the devil will hijack the blessing to wreck our lives. Amen. All right? It happens. And we got to make sure that the blessings of God stay in God's hands. Let me give you another example. This is one that has really, really gotten me here recently. Each day in my prayer time, I will pray through the Lord's Prayer, and I'll use that to kind of direct how I pray for all of you. And one of the things that I pray is, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And I've begun to get convicted about that prayer, I just want you to know. Because there are ways in which we are living well above daily bread. Amen. And don't get me wrong, I understand there are some people who like literally, like you are praying for daily bread today, right? And I just want you to know God is faithful. He's faithful, and he will make a way. I promise you he will. But then there's other times where, like, we've already got next week's bread already stored up, right? Like, it's already in the bank. Like, we got next week's bread ready to go. We're not even worried about today because we got a couple of weeks already in the pantry and everything, right? But instead of being so thankful that God provided for us in such great abundance, we find things to complain about, right? Like, I remember when we were flying, I can't remember if it was when we were flying to or flying back from Kenya. We're on the plane, and every seat has its own little TV on it, right? Got some movies on there, some TV shows. You can watch the plane, like, it can. You got cameras all over the plane. You can see where this thing is flying. You can look what's underneath you and everything, like, all kinds of different things or whatever. And as I'm going through and everything, you don't have access. I mean, it's not like Netflix or whatever on there. It's just, you just got, there's whatever movies they put on there, that's what's on there. And it might not even be in the language you speak, right? And I just remember kind of going through there thinking, oh, man, I wish there were some other movies on here. Now, come on with me here. Come on with me here, right? The Lord provided funding through multiple means so that I could be on that plane going to Kenya to do the Lord's work. In that, the Lord kept me safe in the air for all them hours. And I want you to know, like, I've never had a bed sore in my life, but I felt pretty close right there on that plane, right? But that plane went up and that plane went down, and it was all cool. As I was on the plane, I'm charging up my cell phone. I have a cell phone, first of all, right? I have a screen in front of my face that is entertaining me in all kinds of different ways. And I got the nerve to say, man, I wish there were some other movies on this thing. Do you see what I mean? Like I pray, God, give us this day our daily bread. And then I do that. Like, I should have looked at that screen, like, in such humility and just overwhelming blessing, like, Lord, how in the world do you even make this possible, right? God is so good. He has blessed us so beyond what we can even imagine sometimes, but we get so busy in the blessing that we let the devil hijack that thing so many times, right? Let me keep on here. See, sometimes we can get so busy with the blessing that we forget that people died so that we could live in that blessing. Yes. Amen. Right? Like, for real. Like I know, like, we can kind of be joking around about, oh, man, I don't have Wi-Fi. How in the world can people live like this, right? But the truth of the matter is, like the promise of daily bread and the promises that God provided to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, like people died so that we could live in those promises. Some people died in those promises without having realized the fulfillment of them, right? And we cannot forget that just because we haven't experienced it the way some others have. In fact, watch this. When we actually experience the deliverance of God, there are some things that happen in our heart and in our minds. Like chemically, there are some things that happen in our brain. And spiritually, there are some things that happen in our soul. And when those things happen, like when we actually experience the deliverance of God, much like the Israelites coming across the Red Sea or being fed each day with manna or coming in through the Jordan or getting into the promised land, like when you experience those things, as you experience the deliverance of God in your life, it does something in your life that it just gets stuck in there. In Kentucky, we would say it got stuck in your crawl, right? Like, I don't even know where you keep your crawl, but it's just stuck in there, right? It's stuck in there, and you could try to forget it, but there's no way because there's like an emotional attachment to the deliverance of God in your life, right? And that's an awesome, awesome thing, but what do you do if you've not experienced that? Because the The temptation is to forget that God ever did anything. Your testimony might not be the testimony like somebody else of getting delivered from addictions and all this other kind of stuff, but I just want you to know the promises of God are still yes and amen for you too. Right? So what do we do to make sure that we don't forget that the promises of God apply to us too? Let me give you a few ideas here before I jump down off of here. One of the things that I want to encourage you to do, and that I believe Moses is encouraging the Israelites to do, is I want to encourage you to plan to tell your story. Plan to tell your story. And I'm talking specifically to those that are not just parents but grandparents today. I'm talking to everybody. But I want y'all to know, like, for those of you who have grandchildren, like, I'm willing to bet, maybe I shouldn't say it that way. I'm sorry, let me pull back from that. I would imagine, there we go, that's probably a better way to say that. I would imagine that your kids probably don't know everything the Lord's done in your life because you have probably held back from them some of the things the Lord brought you out of. And I think it's important for you to tell your story. See, so many times we just want to kind of put on this face like, oh, like we're good now. It's okay. Like it don't matter anymore. And I just want you to know, like, it does matter. Your story matters. And you may have never told your children what it is that God brought you out of. They may not even fully understand because maybe there were some things that God delivered you from before they were even around, before they were even a thought, right? Your children need to know your story. And I just want to encourage you today, plan to tell your story, right? One of the ways you can do that as well, this is sort of a second idea here, is I want to encourage you to write down your story. Sometimes it's a whole lot easier to write it down first, because when you get face to face with somebody, you're like, we'll talk later, right? But I want to encourage you to write down your story. And there's two reasons why this is really, really important. One, you'll notice that Moses thought it was important enough to write down the story of how God worked in the lives of Israel so that when they got across the River Jordan, they would remember not only what God had done, but that he had told them, this is how it's going to be, and this is how faithful God has been, right? If it was important enough for Moses to write this down so that we have the book of Deuteronomy and so that they could live by it for Israel, don't you think it's probably important for us to write some of these things down too? Like, I understand that the Word of God is so much, so powerful. It is the authoritative Word of God. It is there for us. We can base our lives on what this book says. Like, I want you to know all those things. But I want you to know your story is important too. Your story is so important. Write your story down. Another reason why it's so important is because one of these days you ain't going to be here no more. Right? Moses knew that he wasn't going to make it to the promised land. Moses knew that he wasn't going to be there to remind them of what God had done once they got there. So he had to find a way for them to remember even when he wasn't there. When you write your story down, that's something that lives even beyond you, right? And so whether that's like in a daily journal that you keep of how God is working in your life now, or whether that's just even just thinking back on how, what God has done in your life and you just kind of making a memoir, if you will, of God's work in your life. Like, I want to encourage you to write down what God has done in your life. Because I promise you, your children and your grandchildren and your family will be blessed when they see that. You might not even give it just straight to them. They might just find that thing after you dead and gone, right? And they're going to start reading through those things. And they might not even write this stuff down. Write this down. I'm telling you, it's going to bless your life. It's going to bless their lives, right? And as you write it down, what that does is it helps give you some confidence on how to tell that story to your family even while you're here now. Don't let the devil steal God's glory. Don't let the devil steal God's testimony. Don't let the devil steal that from you. If the Lord has delivered you, then share that good news. Amen. It's God's good news. It ain't your good news anyway. It ain't like you did something to save yourself. Come on, somebody. Like, come on. Like, the grace of God is not something you just worked yourself on into. No, no, no. God delivered you up out of that thing by His power and by His mighty right hand. You better go on and give Him some glory, because it ain't your glory to hold on to. Right? So write that story down. Plan to share the story. Then the last thing, I'm going to get up out of here, is to be intentional about thanking God for everything. Everything, right? Like, I mean, when you wake up, get like obsessive about thanking God for everything. In fact, we were talking about in the Equipped Discipleship training today, we were talking about how sometimes when you serve, people don't always appreciate your service the way that you wish they would, right? And sometimes people come against you and you just trying to serve the Lord, and they come against you in all these different kinds of ways. And we read some verses, particularly in the New Testament, where Jesus was telling his disciples, like, hey, persecution gonna come, but you just need to have joy in that. Amen. I didn't get too many amens from you. I'm amen myself on that one. Amen. Right? Like, we ought to count it a privilege that we even get to suffer for the good news of Jesus Christ. Like, we ought to count it a privilege. So just know, even for those things that don't go well, thank God anyway. Even for those things that aren't your favor, you just thank God anyway. In fact, I want to go ahead and invite the worship team to come on back up, if you would. And as we're singing, one of the things that I want to encourage you with, maybe you want to come to an altar to pray. Maybe this morning you recognize the fact that you have forgotten God already in your life. Like, maybe you were aware of God when you were a kid. Maybe you attended a worship service here and there and that kind of stuff. And you recognize, even here today, the Lord has impressed upon your heart and recognize that, you know what? Like, you need to remember what God has done for you. You need to remember that Jesus died on the cross for you and for your sins, that you could be made whole, that you could be not just forgiven, but that you could live a life of holiness with Him, that you could live in the power of God's Holy Spirit. Like you have all that accessible to you even now. And so maybe the Lord is just stirring your heart to say, you know what? Today's the day I need you to remember that I did some things for you. And today's the day you can commit to live for me, right? But even as we're singing, maybe today's just the day that you remember to praise God for everything that you have. Maybe as we're singing this song, you just need to start thanking God just right where you are. Maybe you ain't even going to sing the song with the worship team. Maybe you're just going to spend this whole time just thanking God for everything that He's done in your life, to recognize and remember the fact that you are living in kingdom promises even now. And God might not have brought you through the Red Sea or the Jordan Sea, might not have brought you out of away from Egypt's army or anything like that, but God has provided for you. And we can't forget that. We can't forget that. Stand with me if you would, please. We're going to sing together. And I'm going to trust that you will respond to God in the way that His Holy Spirit is leading you. That we would not forget the promises of God, but that we would glorify Him through it all. Amen.